May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. From the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said to the woman, "You surely shall not die. For God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Isn't it interesting that when the enemy was deceiving them, she said, the Lord said, if we eat from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, there were two trees in the middle of the garden. One was the tree of life. They could eat from that. They could eat from any other tree in the garden. But the other tree in the middle of the garden was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And she said, if we eat from that tree or even touch it, we'll die. And then the serpent, then Satan said to the woman, "You surely shall not die. For God knows that the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good from evil." Isn't it interesting that he described God, "You'll be like God, knowing good from evil"? Because that's what God's like. God knows good from evil. He said, but your eyes will be open. And when their eyes were open, the first thing they did was they sewed fig leaves and hid themselves from each other. And the second thing they did was hide from God. That was the consequence of their eyes being open and them knowing good from evil. Now, isn't it interesting to me, and we've talked about this before over the years, that their physical eyes were certainly open. They were walking around, not bumping into trees. They were naked. But for some reason, they didn't see each other in a way that would make them feel insecure or prideful or flawed. But when their eyes were open after eating the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, once they had that knowledge of good and evil, suddenly, everything looked different. The bottom line is, only God can be trusted with the knowledge of good and evil. God never intended them to live based on what's right and what's wrong. A lot of times I know we'll talk about people who just keep messing up, and we like go, they just don't seem to know the difference between right and wrong. But in their mind, they do. They've inherited this. They live by knowledge of good and evil, and they conclude, maybe it's like something like drugs or alcohol. They conclude, it makes me feel good and I can escape. That's right. Without weighing the consequences. But God never intended for them to live. But you would think that God would want them to know good from evil, wouldn't you? I mean, that's like one basic life 101. You should know good from evil. But they didn't live by that. They lived in union with God and trusted God with the knowledge of good and evil. Because see, the enemy said, if you eat from the tree, you'll be like God because you'll know good from evil. And of course, the great deception is that if you know what's good, you'll have the wisdom to do it. And if you know what's bad, you'll have the wisdom to avoid it. Hasn't worked out really well. I mean, we think about this. When we watch things on the news and you watch what people do to each other, we think about the consequences of this world leader making this decision and this world leader making this decision and how it affects all of us. And sometimes it's so simple that my dog Henry would make a better decision. Like, what's the point of this? I mean, and so sometimes they'll make decisions just based on they can say something about their nation is the number one leader in the world, the one superpower. Like, okay, and how's that going to affect? I mean, don't you see that's going to hurt others or this or whatever? Because people don't do well functioning by their own sense of good and evil. God didn't intend for us to live by good and evil. He intended us to live in union with Him and therefore to live in righteousness. There's a difference. The word righteousness just means to be right. I don't mean to be right like, well, you're wrong and I'm right. It means that you're totally functional. There's something right about you. You know, that you've been made right as opposed to being broken. Listen to what it says in Galatians. Now the flesh, if you wanted a good definition for the flesh, it's just self-sufficiency. That was the fall. We have the knowledge of good and evil. We can be godlike. We can be like God because we'll have the wisdom to do good and the wisdom to not do bad. Verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets the desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now what's the basis of the law? Do what's good and avoid what's evil. It's all about your personal performance. What's Christianity? How was man created originally? That we're in union with God in Christ so that He can perform righteousness to us, which is much higher than what's right and what's wrong. See, because if you live under the law, if you live from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, doing what you think is right and not what's wrong, and again, that's watch it all over the country, all over the world. The different views of what's right and what's wrong is unbelievable. When you live by what's right and what's wrong, what you learn is that without God being the one who's manifesting righteousness through you and who's teaching our mind, directing our will, controlling our emotions, we'll start changing what's right. Well, that's not really wrong. It's kind of wrong, but not really wrong. But God wants me happy, so I'm going to do this because God wouldn't want me to be unhappy, so it's not wrong to do this. We keep pushing the boundaries based on our wisdom. The deeds of the flesh are evident, like immorality and impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputing, dissensions, fractions. Sounds like the church. Not this church, of course. Envyings, drunkenness, carousings, things like these, which I forewarn you, and I forewarn you that those who practice such things will not experience in fullness the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, that's living by the tree of life, living from your union with Christ, is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. And listen to what he says. And against such things there is no law. Huh? See, Christ came to restore what God originally intended. Through our union with Christ, we'd participate in the life of God, stewarding all that He is, all that He has, and it being lived out through me. And instead of me trying to discern what's right and what's wrong, living by His understanding of right and wrong, living by righteousness. Because love, joy, peace, love. So if you're walking in that kind of love, you're not going to do selfish things or self-centered things. I'm not going to use you to meet my needs. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. He said, you don't need. If that's what the Holy Spirit's doing in you, then you don't need the law. You don't need right and wrong. Because you're going to live by a higher standard, God's righteousness. For He, the Father, made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. And so, Bishop, that sounds scary because if people don't do right and wrong, they're just going to do wrong all the time. They won't know. No, that hasn't worked out really well. If we live from Christ, trust me, His standard of right and wrong is much higher than yours or mine. It's the righteousness of God. It talks about in Romans, it's the righteousness of life, of His life. That's why we said before, Christianity is not a set of principles. It's a person who lives a principled life in us. His name is Jesus. That's the tree of life. It's not my performance. Because if I'm performing, I will always change the lines. It's grace. And that's why we said before, you can get away with far less. You can't get away with anything under grace. But if you're trying to live by right and wrong, you'll get away with stuff all the time, or try to. Because you're the one who's establishing the boundaries of what's right and what's wrong. Just look at the freedom they had before their eyes were open. I'd rather live by His open eyes. I'd rather live from the eyes of my heart. Amen? People who are trying their best to live for Jesus scare me. Because they'll excuse all kinds of behavior. They'll get grumpy and justify it by your behavior. It's okay. You deserve it. You earned it. It's not my fault. It's your fault. In a marriage, they'll do that. Or they'll do all kinds of other stuff. But if you're living from Christ, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control trumps all that. You can't get away with any of it. That's freedom. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.